Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You listen to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. So earlier today, I watched Uncle Buck. Uncle Buck was a feel-good 80s comedy. Now, I didn't hate the movie. I also didn't love the movie. And I think that some of the jokes are a little bit outdated and just didn't really translate. So I was telling Rob before the show sort of how I felt about Uncle Buck and gave him my score for the movie. And I asked him, what movie do he think, or does he think, is the last classic comedy movie? We all know what classics are. Caddyshack is a classic. Friday is a classic. Ace Ventura is a classic. I'm not a huge fan of this movie, but I understand that The Hangover is a classic comedy. So let's just use our framework and our common sense of what is a classic comedy movie. I'll tell you, I have not told you my answer. You do not know what my answer is. I did not tell you purposely. I did not tell you because I wanted to see your shock and dismay and all when I tell you my answer. Text line 913-576-7610. What's the last movie that came out that you would deem to be a classic comedy movie? Rob, what's yours?
I'm going to say Wedding Crashers as far as the classic category because it has everything you want in a comedy. And if you rewatched it today or in 10 years, you will laugh. You'll have a good time. It's the last classic comedy. On a little quick side note, me and my friends have this argument all the time. What was the last good standalone comedy? Not classic, but good. And if that were the conversation, I would say Horrible Bosses. But since then, comedy's been meh at best and a lot of misses. But the last classic for me is Wedding Crashers.
I think the last classic comedy is Bridesmaids. If we're saying quotable, great characters, help launch careers, I think is going to be able to hold up over time, over the next 10, 15, 20 years, I think the answer is Bridesmaids. I think Bridesmaids is a really funny movie. I don't really like the one wedding scene and they just poop everywhere and throw up everywhere. Like, I don't really like that scene. Every other part of the movie is absolutely hilarious to me. That's the movie that I would deem to be the last classic comedy is Bridesmaids. There's a lot of like other really funny movies. Like someone said 40 Year Virgin. I think that's a classic. I think Bridesmaids is the last one. And then it got me thinking. So what was your answer again? I just want to look up when it was.
So I said Wedding Crashers, but I realize now the answer is probably The Hangover because The Hangover came out after Wedding Crashers.
Okay.
So I had my timeline wrong, so I'll say The Hangover.
So let's go with your Horrible Bosses, right?
Horrible Bosses I think is really, really good too.
You know when Horrible Bosses came out?
Like 9 or 10?
10 years ago.
Oof.
It came out. What was the other movie you said? Hangover.
Hangover. That would probably have been same time, maybe a little before.
Hangover came out in 2009, which Wolf. Then got me to ask this question. Now, I'm going to hate that I'm going to probably be on the side of these people, but I have to be on the side of these people. As a society, have we killed comedy? If you're telling me, as someone who loves movies, the same way that I love movies, and watch a lot of movies, if we think the last classic movie that we're going to hand down to the next generation came out 10 years ago, then we've all failed. Everybody's failed if that's the case. You don't feel like that in the 90s. Like, we could go in the 90s, and probably every year in the 90s, we could find a classic comedy. Every year, we could probably find a movie that we're like, oh, yeah, that movie's a classic. It might not be a movie that you love, but just the masses' critical appeal, that movie's a classic. We think the last one was 10 years ago or Wedding. So let's say that you think it's Wedding Crashers, which I love Wedding Crashers. Wedding Crashers is my favorite comedy.
That'd be like, what, 15 years ago?
We went an entire 2010 to 2020 and not a single classic comedy was made. Not one. We failed. We failed this generation, if that's the case. We failed them. 100% we've let them down, if that's the case.
I think your point is right about having to give in that maybe we killed comedy. I do think the other portion of this conversation is we, as a viewing audience, have become sequel obsessed. Because the last 10 years, where we say comedy kind of died, the big movies that we think were funny have all had sequels. There's no original. They've like, oh, this comedy worked. Let's do it again. I said Horrible Boss was good. It had a second one. Not as good. The Hangover series, I think it was a classic. 2 and 3, definitely not as good. Wedding Crashers is now getting one. Definitely not as good. Anchorman was a classic like 2004. It got a sequel in the 2010s. Not as good. Like, I think part of it is the we can't do comedy thing anymore, but I think we have to admit the other part of this, which is that studio execs or whoever, the powers that be, have decided this. If you like a movie once, we're going to give it to you 2 or 3 more times, and guess what? You're going to spend the money anyway. No, it doesn't matter.
And that part is fair. Someone said, what about 21 Jump Street? I don't want to make it seem like there have been no good comedies since Horrible Boss. Like, I think Horrible Boss is funny. There's a lot of movies that I think are funny, but I wouldn't put in that classic. Like, when you think about it, we grew up with certain movies that it was just undeniable. Like, we don't have to have a debate on here, is Major League a classic? Or is Friday a classic? Or Ace Ventura? We all identify, yes, that's a classic comedy. That's a movie that has held up over time. The movie Blockers, for example. Movie with John Cena. I think Leslie Mann was in it.
Yeah, I saw that.
I thought the movie was
funny. It's
funny,
yeah.
That's great, not classic, but funny, yeah. Though. We're not passing that movie down to anybody. The movie doesn't have any lasting memory. That's what makes me think that we failed. That's what makes me think. Someone brought it up on the text line. I would say the last great original comedy was Ted.
But they did a sequel to that. That's my point about the we just lather, rinse, repeat. Ted was very good. I actually really liked Ted.
Ted 2 was a waste of time.
Ted 2, why did we do Ted 2?
Ted 2 was a waste of time.
Why can't we let Ted 1 be great and have those same people who are creative types and invented Ted go do a different movie? Let's be different. But no, we had to do Ted 2.
No, we absolutely had to do Ted 2. Someone brought up Booksmart. Have you seen Booksmart?
The TV show?
No, the movie.
Oh, what, the one Olivia Wilde produced,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Booksmart. It was funny. Yeah. It was cool. I wouldn't even put it a classic. It was fine.
Yeah, it was a fine movie. It kind of captured what I think being a teenager is like nowadays, but I'm not a teenager nowadays, so some of the jokes missed.
What was that movie, and the text line can help me out. I can't think of it. Is it Good Boys? The movie about those three kids.
Oh, the Seth Rogen written one?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Was it Good Boys or The Boys or something like that?
Yeah, that movie. You guys know what I'm talking about. 913. You guys know what I'm talking about.
I never saw that. I know what you're talking about, though. I saw the ads a bunch. Did you ever see it? Would you like it?
I did like it. I did think that it was funny. Someone said, what about Talladega Nights? Talladega Nights came out 15 years ago. Talladega Nights came out in 2006. Like, I'm not saying that. I think that we can say comedy died in the 2000s. When you think about, like, if we really went through, and let's say that you made a list of your 15 favorite comedies of the 2000s. Let's say you did 10 and then you did 5 honorable mentions. 14 on that list is going to be really strong. Really strong. Like, 14 year old list might be Juno. And Juno was a really fun at the time. Like, nobody made a movie like Juno. She's like 15 and pregnant, and it's a comedy. Like, that's not what movies people made before. We lost that along some line. All of us. Like, I'm not blaming one specific group of people for what happened, but our generation killed comedy. We killed it. We're not going to have any movies to hand to our kids that aren't superhero movies. Those are the movies that you're going to hand to your kid, Rob. You're going to hand Iron Man 3 to your kid.
And I, You know how much I love those movies. I think those are all, I'm a huge comic book fan. I love the comic movies. I don't think Marvel has had a miss, like a big, big miss. But if the only movies my child knows from this era are the MCU, I think it's, and movies that are way too dramatic for what they are, that's a miss. Yeah, missed.
Absolutely. We absolutely missed if that's the case. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, a listener asked us to do a poll question yesterday, and I agreed. So we'll do that coming up in about 20 minutes or so. I have one of the greatest stories the internet has ever produced. I'll tell you what it is next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to The Drive.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I have a poll question to ask you guys. We'll talk some Chiefs football coming up at the bottom of the hour, but we appreciate you listening and making us a part of your Friday. Happy Yeezus Day to those of you who celebrate that. Today is the, I believe it is, 8-year anniversary since the release of Kanye West's album, Yeezus. We played a song off of it earlier today to kick off the show. We might do that again coming up at 5 o'clock. So there was a story yesterday that had completely taken over the internet. And I'm not going to lie to you. This was one of the better threads I've ever seen in my entire life. So this was the tweet that had the internet ablaze. I am coming to you live from a Brandon, Mississippi Waffle House. And I've never been to Brandon. I've never been to Mississippi. I'm here telling you that those two things together sounds like hell on earth. A total loser came in last place in my fantasy football league. As a punishment, I must spend 24 hours straight in a Waffle House. But every waffle I eat shaves 1 hour off the clock. It is now 4:07 Central when he begins his time. So he can choose to not eat any waffles. And he has to be in there for a full day. Or every waffle he knocks off takes it from 24 to 23 to 22. You guys get it. I then continued to read the tweet and it said that he could only go to the car. I was about to sneeze. I was trying to fight it off, Rob.
It said that the only place he could go was to the car. He could not leave the perimeter or the premises. He could only go to the car. This is my question, 913-576-7610. How do you attack something like this? Now, some of you are in fantasy leagues where you have some crazy things if you come in last place. I'm not going to lie to you. I've never heard anything like this before. I've never heard of a penalty, I would say, this extreme before. Rob, you've probably seen some penalties where if you come in last place, you got to like take the ACT or do something like this. This is a pretty creative punishment for coming in last place. So, Rob, you and I both, I would say, are the same maybe when it comes to eating. I'm not a heavy eater. I would consider myself to be a snacker. I could maybe eat like 4 or 5 times over the course of the day, but I'm not going to just sit down and have 20 wings. And that's just not me. I've never been able to do that in my entire life. But I'm the person, Rob, like when you go to Vegas, I'm not the person that's going to stop and get the big buffet. I'm going to stop and get me a taco here and a slice of pizza here and something to drink here. And I might just have one big meal, but I'll eat smaller meals throughout the course of the day. So how would you play this, Rob? So you get there, let's say in this hypothetical, you show up at the Waffle House at 12 p.m. So you straight up high noon. You got 24 hours to be there. Every waffle that you eat shaves 1 hour off of your time. Are you just going crazy right when you get there? And it's like, all right, let me just see how many I can eat. Maybe I can eat 5 or 6. So now I got to sit here for 18 hours. Maybe, you know, you kind of walk around a little bit. You let your food digest. Maybe you can knock some out. My strategy in this would be I got to eat 12 while I'm here. I got to figure out a way to get to 12. Because that, it cuts it in half. I was supposed to be here from 24. Let's say I would probably do it if I was in this man's situation. I would have showed up at 9 a.m. and I've got a goal to be out of here by 9 p.m. I got to figure out a way to get out of here by 9 p.m. 12 hours the most I'm willing to spend in this place. I got to figure it out. So I would try to set a goal where let me go ham early and eat 3 or 4 of these. And it's going to be a struggle the rest of the way, but I got to figure out a way to eat 8 more of these waffles in the next 12 hours.
So I put a lot of thought into this because we've been thinking about it all day. If I was the man, I would elect I'm going in at midnight. I'm starting at midnight. There's my 24-hour cycle. I'm getting there at midnight. When I get there at midnight, I'm trying to pound out 4 waffles immediately. Just bang, 4. Knock off 4 right off the jump. Get that done. It's probably 1 a.m., maybe 1:30 in the morning. I don't mind taking a nap in the booth at Waffle House, going in the car, taking a nap. Little nap. Then you're up by like 5, 6 a.m. I'd come back in the Waffle House. I'd knock out 2 more waffles. So now I'm at 6. I'd walk around, let my food digest a little bit. And then like 9, 10, 11, when you kind of get a little snacky, I would have a cup of coffee. I would then order like a little slice, a little side of bacon to get a little salty. You know what? Something to break up that sweetness.
Other food?
Got to break up that sweetness from the syrup. And then I'm banging out 4 more waffles. And now I'm at 10 and it's noon. I've knocked 10 waffles off. And that means I'm not stuck there till midnight. I'm stuck there till what? 2 p.m. or something? No. My math's way off. Doesn't matter. I've knocked 10 waffles out. Then in the afternoon, I'm having 2 or 3 more, and I've knocked 13 waffles out, and then it's just a matter of hanging out at Waffle House for a little bit longer. The goal's got to be to get 12 waffles, but I would go in at midnight, and I think you need the bacon. You need bacon or a sausage link or something that's salty so that you're not just eating sugary foods the entire day. You need that twist, that turn.
You're crazy to me if you're eating other food. I don't know about you. My stomach only has room for so much. My stomach only has so much. I can't do it. I'm not eating anything else. I would say this would be the biggest challenge for me. This has happened ever since I was a kid, right? Ever since I was a kid. I was the kid to drink 3 glasses of lemonade and then couldn't finish my meal. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm drinking lemonade, I'm sipping milk. Next thing I know, I have 2 of these bad boys, and I'm full. I'm stuffed. I'd be sitting there lost. I don't know what I would do in that scenario. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't think I'd be very good in this challenge. I really don't think I'd be good at this challenge. Part of me wants to do this and just see what happens. Like, this would be like a great live stream. Like a 24-hour drive live stream, Rob, to see how we could do and see if we could really do this.
Someone on the text line says you can't put syrup on it. It goes down faster. If I'm going to be stuck at Waffle House eating waffles 24 hours, I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm putting syrup on them. I'm not having dried. I'm not going to have to eat 24 waffles and be miserable doing it. I'm going to put some syrup on them. And I'm telling you, maybe it's like a slice of bacon, maybe a side of hash browns, and you kind of mix it in with the waffles. You need that sweet and that salty. It makes you keep going. If you're just eating straight up sweet waffles, you're not getting more than eight. You're just not. You're going to get bored with the flavor and the taste.
Somebody said, yo, did you see these waffles, though? These weren't Eggos. They were the big boys. Oh, no, they were the Waffle House waffles. If these were the Eggos, it wouldn't be that hard. Like, how long would it take you to eat 24 Eggos? 3 hours? 4 hours?
That would take that. I don't need the salty then. That just go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would just go ahead and just I just
stack
push
them up.
Through it. I just push through it. Like, 100% just push through it. All you have to do is eat two every hour for the first 8 hours and you're done. I think you're underestimating how many people could do that. That's tough. I couldn't do that. There's no chance I could do that.
No, that's.
I know my body and my limitations. I ain't eating two waffles an hour for 8 straight hours. No chance. No chance. I couldn't do it. Absolutely couldn't do it. That'd be my limit.
I agree with the guy. Coffee, too. Speed up the digestive system. You got to know the body. You got to change the flavors. You got to add a little coffee. Don't waste your time with juice. That's going to just fill you up unnecessarily. You got to play the long game here when you're doing this. But even then, I think the maximum amount of waffles I'd get down is 12. That's the goal. I mean, anyone who thinks, oh, I'll just knock 24 out. Big cap.
Yeah, no, there's no chance. There's no chance. There's no chance anybody's eating 24 in the time that you're there. There's no chance you're eating 24.
I mean, Chestnut maybe, but he's professional.
Yeah, no mere mortal. I'm not sure if Joey Chestnut is a mere mortal or a normal human being. He doesn't have any normal human being tendencies. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. So OTAs is over. The mandatory part is over. Andy Reid met with the media earlier in the week. Here's what he had to say when comparing this offseason to last offseason.
Yeah, so listen, on these Zoom calls, as you know, I mean, you can install, you can do all that. You can talk about fundamentals and techniques, but you can't work on them. And that's just what's real. This gives you an opportunity to actually run the play and work on the fundamentals and techniques and let the players, after the coaches have evaluated their last season, to sit there and help them get better with the, again, techniques and fundamentals that they might need this season. So I think it's a win-win. I think it's great to have the technology, but at the same time, I think it's important that we're still able to get them on the field. And I said this before, I think it's important the coaches handle it the right way and try to keep the players as safe as they possibly can. If that means giving up the run game part of it. We did that versus air and bags, but we didn't do it against each other. Then that's what we do, you know. So you gotta try to keep them as safe as you possibly can.
One thing I'm not really sure that has been talked about nearly enough in the NFL, as opposed to last year to this season, is the COVID protocols for vaccinated and non-vaccinated players. I think a lot of that is, aside from everybody's personal feeling when it comes to COVID, there is this feeling in society, and it's not just American society, where you make so much money, you suck it up, and the complaints of the rich and famous are not ones that are going to fall to the normal common man. I'm surprised, though, with how polarizing people feel towards COVID, that the NFL and the Players Association have agreed to basically ostracize non-vaccinated NFL players. I mean, that's essentially what they've done. I say this as somebody who is vaccinated, who encourages you to be vaccinated. listen to some of the differences. Vaccinated players don't have to get tested daily. Non-vaccinated players get tested every day. Vaccinated players don't have to wear a mask. Vaccinated players do have to wear a mask. No physical distance on one side. Physical distance at all times on another side. No quarantine if exposed to it. Must quarantine. No travel restrictions. All the travel restrictions. No capacity in the weight room. A limit in the weight room. Like, they have created two completely different systems in the NFL for vaccinated players and non-vaccinated players. I know that everybody has a different feeling when it came to the vaccine. I know how I felt about it. The moment I knew I could get it, I was one of the first people in line. I was one of those people that was saying, I want to go back to normal. I want to get back to normal. I felt like being vaccinated was part of my responsibility to help life get back to normal. Some of you don't feel that way about the vaccine. You're an adult. You can make that decision for yourself. I know one thing, though, when it comes to an NFL player that I am going to be consistent on. You can't tell me that you want to do everything it takes to win if you're not willing to get vaccinated in the NFL. The same way that we ask these players to put their bodies through ungodly things and unmentionable things, we don't want to know what NFL players do from a Monday to a Friday and to a Saturday, Sunday to get on the field. The kind of things they're injecting in their body, pills, things that they are playing through on a physical level, things that would make us shudder and probably hate the sport if we found out that's what they were doing. You can't tell me you're doing everything it takes to win if you're not willing to do that. You're allowed to have that opinion. If you don't want to get vaccinated, I was reading a story today about Cole Beasley, and Cole Beasley's like, nah, I ain't doing it. This is stupid. That's perfectly fine. I just won't believe that winning is your number one priority if that's the case. The same way we ask guys to play through pain, when guys are clearly at, what, 70, 80%, and we then mock those players for not being healthy, to me, part of trying to be a successful NFL team is making sure your team gets to 85%. The odd thing is, Rob, you don't need everybody to agree, right? You need 85%. I don't care who the 85% is. You got to figure out a way as an organization to get to 85%. And then you can basically do everything you were doing before. Film, weight room, team activities. You can go back to how life was in 2019 as an NFL team. So the Chiefs are doing good. I imagine we'll see more players get vaccinated between now and the start of training camp. Sure, some players are going to decline. Some people in our society have declined. But it's going to be tough for you to convince me you're doing everything it takes to win and you're willing to sell your body out for the team. But now we've created this special, well, I mean, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win, but I'm not willing to take the COVID-19 vaccine. I just don't believe you. Everybody's entitled to feel how they feel. I just won't believe you saying that if you're not willing to do that one thing to get on the field and ensure the safety of yourself, the safety of the other people, and to give your team the best advantage to go win on Sundays. You're listening to The Drive right here on 610 Sports Radio and the brand new Odyssey app.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
There's a couple of texts I want to get to coming up really quickly, but I want to read you guys the code word. The code word is brand, B-R-A-N-D, brand. Text the word brand, B-R-A-N-D, brand to 72881. The National Cash Contest code word is brand. So I was giving my opinion on the... I don't know if it's a controversy or not, but the NFL basically has two separate rules for players who want to be vaccinated and players who don't want to be vaccinated. If you look at it, it sounds like not being vaccinated is absolutely miserable. And I will say this, and maybe this is something that the NFL just doesn't want to admit, but we all know this to be the case. Rob, you would agree. If you're a player on the fringe and you're choosing not to be vaccinated, that seems like a terrible decision to make. It's one thing to make that decision if you're Tyrann Mathieu, right? It's another thing if you're a player that's on the cut line and you're choosing not to do it. That's not a decision that I would make if I'm a player on the cut line. So some people are upset. I don't know if upset's the right word. So a lot of people are saying, well, one person. So if a player doesn't want to inject into their body an unproven and tested shot, you're going to hold that against them and say they're not willing to do whatever it takes to get out on the field. That's ludicrous. I mean this in all seriousness, and I know some of you feel this way about the vaccine. What do you think is worse long-term for the human body? The Pfizer COVID-19 shot or playing football? Because we got a lot of case studies on what playing football does to your body. Right? We got a lot of examples of what football does to the human body. And we acknowledge that they take those risks every single day when it comes to playing football. The same way, if you choose to smoke cigarettes every day, no one can say that you don't know the health risks. And you make that decision, and you're an adult. You're allowed to make that decision. That's part of being an American. Once you turn this age and it tells you it's okay, you can make that decision. Rob, we know what football does long-term to your body, right? You're right. I have no clue what the vaccine does long term. None of us know. I don't know how we could know. I know what football does to these players' body, and I'm not saying that you got to be forced to take it. It's a choice. The NFL's not mandating you to take it. I'm just simply saying, for me, you can't tell me you're willing to do everything it takes to win if you're not willing to do this. The same way we question when guys are injured if they can push through it and try to play, and we all know what push through it and try to play means. It's not like they just give them some magical healing power and they go out there and play. We see guys play through a lot. This is something that I would just ask you to do if I was the coach. That's what I would ask to do. That's what I would do. I think that's part of your responsibility as an NFL player. That's what I would say. The same way we ask, there's a difference between being hurt and injured. We got to get to 85%. It's that simple in the NFL. The NFL's not even asking everybody to be vaccinated. to get back to normal. They're saying at least 85% of your team needs to get there. I think, what, two teams are already there, right? The Dolphins and the Bills, I think, were the two teams that just got there.
Someone else just passed. I think the Broncos just passed the threshold yesterday, too.
Your goal as an NFL team needs to be get to 85. It needs to be everybody's goal in the NFL. The NFL and the Players Association have made their stance pretty clear. We can disagree with the, but the NFL and the Players Association have agreed. This is the plan. I'm following the plan. The plan if you don't get vaccinated in the league sounds terrible. Sounds really bad for everybody. You can't lift weights with everybody. You can't go eat with everybody. It doesn't sound like it helps build team camaraderie. It sounds terrible. We just got to get to 85. That's my goal. If I'm the NFL, you got to find a way to get to 85%. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. So yesterday we had a caller call into the show. He said this. I want to play it for you.
I got a poll question if you're interested.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Neil.
My poll question is this. I would love, my personal opinion, I want to see Patrick and Tom play again. I want to get revenge. Personally, I want to see Patrick beat Tom in the playoffs so that maybe, right now we can't do it. There's no way. Tom is the GOAT. We cannot even have the conversation. But if Patrick beats him in the playoffs and beats him in the Super Bowl, then we can revisit the conversation of who's the greatest of all time. Patrick may be able to catch him still. I want to get the audience's opinion. If you could do that for me, I'd love it to see what everybody thinks. If it's the majority thinks yes, let's get revenge against Tom and revisit the conversation, or no, let's just go against somebody else.
So we got that call yesterday. This is my question. I don't want to just steal his poll question, even though I do think it was a good question. 913-576-7610. Which team do you think is more likely to go back to the Super Bowl next year? I think it's Kansas City. I don't just say that because we're in Kansas City. I think that Tampa sort of hit the right stride at the right time. Like the right combination of things kind of all came together at the exact same time and allowed them to win the Super Bowl. It took the Green Bay Packers, I think, making one of the worst goal line decisions I can remember in recent memory in the NFL. If you remember back to that game, Rob, they then had a third and long, and they called a controversial pass interference that then gave Tampa the game. It then took Kansas City not having just their left tackle out, also had their right tackle being out for them to win the Super Bowl. It didn't really take these like bizarre things to happen for Kansas City to get there. They were just better than everybody else. I think for the most part, the talent on Kansas City, at least in the AFC, they're still largely better than everybody else. Like, I think Buffalo's a little bit better team than they were last year. I think Cleveland's a little bit better team than they were last year. And then there's some kind of like the lower tier teams. Like, New England's better this year than last year, but they're not a contender. You know, there's some other teams like that. I still don't know if they, I don't know if anybody has really closed the gap when it comes to being a threat to Kansas City in the AFC. I don't think that's necessarily the case in the NFC. Like, I look at San Francisco, if Jimmy Garoppolo is being a legit threat to Tampa Bay. I look at the Los Angeles Rams. If Stafford has a good year, when you combine their offensive weapons and that defense and the creativity of Sean McVay, I think the Rams could win like 13 games this year. I think the Rams are super loaded this year for this upcoming season. I think there's just more top-tier contenders in the NFC than there are for the AFC. So, Rob, if I'm asking the question, which team's more likely to go back to the Super Bowl next year? And I know that history says it's typically not the loser. Like, the losing team is not the team that normally gets back and wins a Super Bowl. It's only happened three times in the history of the NFL. I still think it's Kansas City, though.
I'm about to be unpopular on the text line. I think the Bucs are more likely to go back to the Super Bowl than the Chiefs. And I think it's mostly this. We think what? We mentioned earlier, locks to make the playoffs, teams we deem as threats to the Chiefs in the AFC. There's three or four that we think, you know, on any given Sunday could go get the Chiefs. The Ravens, probably. I know people are going to scoff because Lamar, but I think the Ravens are a good football team. Obviously, the Bills, I think on any given Sunday could get the Chiefs problems. And maybe the Titans or the Colts on the come up. But there's enough teams in the AFC that are a threat to the Chiefs because there's good talent there. I know a lot of people are big on the Browns. When I was big on the Browns, but the Browns are a good football team. The NFC doesn't have that. as long as the Aaron Rodgers saga continues to unfold and we just don't know what the situation is there, there's not really a team two, a second threat in the NFC. I think it's the Rams. I know you think it's the Niners, but I think they're both kind of building as opposed to ready to roll, and they both have reasons to be a little hesitant about them. So I think it's the Bucks, and I also think you combine the fact that the Bucks did last year in three road games before they played in the Super Bowl. The Bucks division just got a lot easier this offseason. Falcons, total rebuild. Panthers, we believe they're not there yet. And the Saints, big regression coming, because whether it's Taysom or Jameis, that's worse than Drew Brees. The Bucks bring everyone back too. So the Bucks are probably going to get a home playoff game, which makes their road easier against a weaker conference. I think the Bucks are more likely to go back, but I think it's by the slightest of margins, because I do believe in the Chiefs. The talent gap in the NFC is just so staggering. I think it's the Bucks.
Text line 913-576-7610. Who's more likely to go back to the Super Bowl next year, Kansas City or Tampa Bay? I will say this, Rob, and it at least maybe strengthens my argument. I still struggle with the, well, if Kansas City doesn't go to the Super Bowl, then who is going to the Super Bowl out of the AFC? You know how I feel about Cleveland, so the answer to me is not Cleveland. I really only think it's Buffalo. Like, if you're telling me how many teams do I think in a playoff scenario can beat Kansas City, as of now, the only team I think is Buffalo. Baltimore has given me no reason to think they can beat Kansas City. I think the talent is comparable, but just based on history, there's no reason for me to pick Baltimore to beat Kansas City in a game that matters, or really any game, period. So it's hard for me to pick another team in the AFC or suggest another team in the AFC when it's different than in the NFC. So if you're telling me, all right, well, Tampa regresses to the mean, Tampa feels like, all right, the Tom Brady experiment was an overwhelming success. They didn't think they were going to get two or three out of Brady. They're happy just to get the one, so Tampa Bay is going to regress and fall back to the pack. Well, if Tampa doesn't go, then who? I can give you four answers. Well, Aaron Rodgers figures it out, and he goes back to Green Bay. They get over the hump. Oh, well, San Francisco's healthy again at quarterback. They go back. Oh, well, Seattle figures it out, and they get over the hump. Oh, well, look, Sean McVay finally got his quarterback, and they made it work. I can give you the if not Tampa, then who argument way more in the NFC than I can in the AFC.
I think with the AFC, though, that I don't want to say the middle tier is so much stronger than the middle tier in the NFC that, you know, there's just it's an accumulation of great talent. It's not, I think there's one true threat in the NFC. I think the AFC has two or three true threats. And we both feel the same way about Cleveland. But would it stun us? Maybe not a playoff game, but on any given Sunday, if the Browns beat the Chiefs and then maybe make it a home playoff game, or if on one night the Baltimore Ravens figured out how to beat the Chiefs and go and do it, we think the Bills could do it. We both agree on the Bills, but it's the regular season that leads to the postseason. The new expanded format, only the one seed gets a huge advantage in the playoffs now. Everyone else got to fight for the rest. And the Chiefs could slip up with early with a lack of continuity on the O-line, and their toughest games are early, and maybe that costs them the one seed, and maybe they have a tougher road now. Where I think the Bucks, I just don't see a team that makes them slip up, because there's only one true threat, in my opinion, and that team has big questions.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I will say this, and this is one thing that I'm willing to sit the fence on and admit that I'll be Johnny come late me to. I got to see it. You're right. It's not crazy to think that Cleveland could beat Kansas City. It's not crazy to think that Baltimore could beat Kansas City. That ain't something I'm willing to predict today, though. That might be something I'm willing to predict week six, week seven. Kansas City is on what I thought. Baltimore's better than I thought. Cleveland's better than I thought, and I end up being wrong. I ain't going to be wrong in June, though. I'm much more willing to be wrong in October than willing to be wrong in June. So maybe this is the year for Cleveland. Baker takes that Josh Allen step forward. I do think on players 2 through 53, I think they're comparable to Kansas City way more than people want to admit. The difference is head coach and quarterback between those two teams. The difference is not skill position players and defensively, at least not in my opinion. So I will be surprised. I don't believe in Baker. But that's just something I'm going to be way more inclined to see once I see what Cleveland really looks like over the course of the season in Baltimore. That's just not something I feel comfortable predicting. Not the way that I do feel in the NFC. I feel comfortable predicting in the NFC because you know me. I just don't really believe in Brady the way that everybody else does, even though I just keep being wrong. Eventually, if I keep telling you that Brady's going to be washed, eventually he's going to be washed and I'm going to be right. I think that time's coming. I don't know when. I'm not even going to try to predict anymore, but I feel like that time is coming. I don't think that time's for Kansas City, though.
I think my point, and I know the text line, I'm going to close it because they're like, oh, there's no way the Browns can beat the Chiefs. I don't think the Browns are going to beat the Chiefs. I want that on the record. But the equivalent of the Browns in the NFC is what? Probably the Cardinals, a team on the come up we believe is really good with the young quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. I can't see a scenario where on any given Sunday they go and get the Bucs. I can't see it. I don't think their coach is good enough. I don't think their quarterback's good enough. And as much as I think I agree with you on Tom Brady being a million years old and eventually regression is coming because he's 1,000 years old, I can't talk myself into the Cardinals getting them or see any scenario. Like 95-5, the Bucs win that game. The AFC equivalent's probably the Browns, and I think the Chiefs win that game, but I think it's more like 75-25 the Chiefs win that game. And I think the Chiefs have a lot of games like that where it's like, yeah, you're going to win, but it's like 75-25, where the Bucs have the equivalent of, yeah, they're going to win, but it's 90-10 they're going to win. And they get to play the NFC East, which is just four teams that are automatic wins. So I think the Bucs' path is so much easier, which is why they're more likely to go back.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.